Welcome to the Geek Teague podcast, where Mario has a third dimension. I'm Void, and I'm here with my co-host, Beej.
It's-a me, a Beej.
It is. Today we're talking about Mario, but mostly 3D Mario, because that's been on our thoughts lately. I've been playing a bunch of 3D Mario just from Mario 3D All-Stars or All-Stars Mario 3D. I always forget the order of the words in that title.
And then Super Mario 3D All-Stars.
That's the one. I've been playing that.
It's long.
And then you have been looking back at Mario because you just did a whole magazine on it, basically.
Yeah, we did press start on the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers, and it basically got me invested in all things Mario, where I realized that as we were talking about this, as all of us who were putting this together, we were talking about it, I realized I hadn't played a whole lot of Mario games in a whole long time, like that I'd never even touched some of them, like Super Mario 3D Land, 3D World, New Super Mario Brothers 2, I barely touched New Super Mario Brothers Wii because Jennifer and I's marriage was on was on the rocks because I kept throwing her in the poison, things like that. And our marriage was not on the rocks for that, but we did have to stop playing it together because of rage issues from both of us. And I never played a bunch of it, so recently I've gone back and really dove into this, and it's a good month to do it.
Yeah, so what were you playing and what'd you beat? Because I know you did a bunch of stuff.
Okay, so I beat Super Mario Odyssey on Switch, finally. It came out like the year that the Switch came out, and I've had it sitting there where I went all the way through it. Like, you have to have like 124 moons in this one to get to the end. There are like 881 in the entire game, just for reference for y'all. You only have to get through the levels and get 124 of them. So I had like 153, and I'd been sitting there at the very end, the last level, and never beat it. I just didn't like that level. I didn't care. And finally, through all of this, I decided I was going to go play it. I was going to beat it. And instead of playing that last level, what I did was go back to some of the other worlds and just kind of play around doing things I hadn't done before, explore a little bit. And once I was having fun doing that, I went to the level I didn't like and beat it and was able to finish out and get into the post game, where like the game just opens up like eight times as big once you get there. Like, just moons are everywhere at that point. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I take back everything I said about Super Mario Odyssey being lackluster in comparison to the other 3D Mario games. It does hold its own, like a lot of people say. I don't know if it's the best one of everything, but it is absolutely better than I was giving it credit for when it was new.
It's definitely the one that, for like the open world exploration type Mario games, it's my favorite one. I want to talk about that a little later, because there's really two different kinds of 3D Mario games. But what else have you been playing? You've been playing like 3D Land and 3D World, right?
3D Land and 3D World, yes. So Super Mario 3D Land is the 3DS version. And this one I just grabbed off the eShop, and it might be my favorite Mario game ever. That so far, Super Mario 3D Land might be the most fun I've ever had with a Mario game, because it's like you had said, 3D World came much after this, where it was built off of this kind of skeleton, where it is level based, where you go through the world map and you go into each like crafted level to do something, but it's 3D within that level, where you're running around with different areas to explore and but still moving toward that goalpost. I loved it. I beat it, and then opened up the first half of it was really easy and it was a lot of fun, and then you beat it and it opens up all sorts of special worlds for everything, and those are really tricky fun platforming, and so it just took on a whole new life, and I adore it. And then I went and bought Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U, because even though it's coming out for the Switch in 6 months, I'm like, I want to play this. So I bought an off-brand Wii U Pro controller just to play it, and it is fantastic. I think I like Land better, but I haven't gotten all the way through 3D World yet.
Yeah,
and that one is like your favorite Mario game, isn't it? 3D World.
I like both of them a lot. I liked 3D Land when it came out because 3D World did not exist, and 3D Land I was initially disappointed until I beat the game, and then I realized there was a whole other like 50% of the content in the game was hidden behind that. And I liked the second set so much better because the first set just wasn't challenging for me. Like, I've been playing Mario my whole life. So I was kind of bored by the first like 8 worlds. And then I didn't realize there were 8 hidden worlds behind it. And as soon as I got into those, like I loved the rest of that game. And so they took all those concepts and then added 4 players and expanded it out and put it on hardware that's more powerful. And that's Super Mario 3D World. And that is my favorite 3D Mario game at the moment.
It is so good.
I'm really excited for them to come out on Switch so that more people can play it, because not a lot of people played it just because the system it was on, it was only on Wii U, and it just Wii U never sold that well. The thing that I like about it is that it has like all of the modern Mario things, but for 3D Mario, all the controls, all of the improvements, all the everything, but it's still level based. And those open world Mario games, the point where I kind of like sputter out on them and move on to the next thing is where I like doing any individual thing to get the next star or moon or whatever it is, but going between point A and point B or trying to figure out like where I need to go to start accomplishing the next task, I start to get bored of that. Where something like, you know, so I'm talking about like Odyssey or like Mario 64 or Sunshine, all of those fall into that category of like, it's kind of openish world where you have to kind of find your way between each thing. Whereas Super Mario 3D World is all level based. Like, you go into a level and it's just you're trying to get to the end of the level, and it's all about executing on the platforming. It's none of this like messing around with, well, should I go over here, should I go over there, where should I go, and what should I kind of be like doing or approaching. And so I like this better because it's so much more about the execution, and that's the part of Mario platforming that I love. So yeah, I mean, as of right now, Super Mario 3D World is my favorite Mario game, just hands down.
And I think that's why I latched on to 3D Land so much. And like I said, I haven't played enough of 3D World to really get that feel for it. Like, I dove hard into Land. But it's the same reason for me, is that it's not so much that exploration puzzle solving. It's that you have to make these jumps. You have to be able to do this, and you're not getting past it until you do, where there's often a way to work around that in the 3D games, which is, you know, the wonderful thing about them. But it's just been so long since I played one of the Marios like that that really made me just have fun doing that, and rage doing that too. Although I've never raged as hard at a Mario game as the new Super Mario Bros. Games. Like, those are the ones that, like, they have that floppy platforming feel to me. Like, you know how you were, not quite Fall Guys like we were talking about, but they feel less precise than almost any other part of the Mario franchise. And I get so mad at it because of that. Do you feel that way about those? Like, or is it just me where the platforming feels just a little slippery?
It's a little bit compared to other games, but I think the main problem is that you mostly played it with other people.
I did. Well, now I'm going back and doing it solo. Okay. And it's still, that kind of thing still bothers me.
Yeah, it
and
does. I realized, a little bit. Oh. It's a little bit slippery. It's a little bit not as precise as other entries in the series. But not.
And
I
think that's because of the other people supposed to be able to cover the slack.
Yeah.
And just be able to go in and help you. And, you know, you're able to bubble up and get somebody else to do it. You can't do that solo. So sometimes I have I've had to stop playing because Mario is the only game that gets me angry these days. And it's the good angry. It's not like the angry video game nerd angry. It's like, I gotta set this down or I will understand why people break their controllers.
Wow. Yeah, I don't get ragey at games ever, so I don't understand that. But okay, I'm glad you know where to draw the line. I really want to talk about Super Mario 3D All-Stars because it just came out. So Galaxy's amazing, so let's come back to that, because I feel like 64 and Sunshine are showing their age so much. And especially for Super Mario 64, like, it's the game in the Mario series that is probably, outside of the very first Super Mario Brothers from, you know, 1985, Super Mario 64 is probably one of the most important games in not only the series, but in just gaming in general. Like, it defined 3D gaming for kind of everybody. Like, it was the first, right, to really do what it did with all of like the analog stick and just, I don't know, like it was such a revolutionary game, and it's so important to Mario and it's so important to gaming history. And I don't think anyone should ever play that game again because it's so bad. Like it's not good by our modern day standards, and it's an important game, and I don't want to take away from the fact that it's very important, but also it's not a good game and I just don't have fun playing it anymore.
And that this is one of those things where it hurts me, because you're right, and this is where people are going to be tweeting at us being like, what are you saying, that Mario 64 is bad? And this is where I'm different than you on this, in that I don't think it's bad, I just don't think I could play it.
Well, that's what I meant.
Absolutely is. Oh, sorry.
No, I just don't think that people should play it anymore. Like, if you love it, that's fine. You know, and there's plenty of people. If you're a speedrunner, whatever. Like, you know, if you really have the nostalgia for it, I don't want to take that away from anyone, because that's totally valid. But just like through our modern sensibilities, people who have heard about Mario 64 and never played it and maybe built it up in their minds as like, oh, wow, this is like a pinnacle game, it's super amazing. It's important, but it's not amazing by modern standards. It's really, really frustrating by modern standards.
If you go back to when it came out in 1996 and you look at the other 3D games that are there, it is head and shoulders amazing. Like, it is a revelation. It is like Star Wars to Flash Gordon. It is just an improvement in every single way. Nintendo figured it out. I always go back to joking about Bubsy 3D whenever I'm saying that, because I didn't get a Nintendo 64 when it was new, and so I had to play Bubsy 3D instead of Mario 64. And in all seriousness, if you go look at those two games side by side, y'all go look at them on YouTube, and if you've never seen or played Bubsy 3D, and Nintendo is really the first company and developer to figure out how to make people move in a 3D world that wasn't by rotating and then moving forward. Whichever direction you pushed the stick, Mario went, and that was a revelation. Like, that alone made Mario 64 better than everything else that was out at the time that anyone else had been able to do. And now, I've always said it was my favorite game. Somebody would ask me what my favorite video game was, and I'll be like, Super Mario 64, hands down. And now, I don't know. I don't know what my favorite game is, because going back to this, and this is the weird part, this is where it's really weird to me, the controls are way worse than I remember. Like, it's not even the camera, which I knew was going to be janky because nobody had figured out 3D cameras yet, and you didn't have another stick, you had little buttons that you pressed instead. Like, I get that things are still being figured out and I can deal with that, but the accuracy, I'm having a hard time jumping on things that, like in Mario Odyssey, I'm easily hitting. Like, I can jump on top of something and butt smash it with no problem, and I got a problem butt smashing in Mario 64. And that's not something that has ever happened before, and so I know it's me getting used to the improvements over time. But also, it's being on the Switch that's the problem. Excuse me, I have my Nintendo 64 and Super Mario 64 in it hooked up to my TV right now, and I should play it so I could play it, and I can play Mario 64 way better on that. I don't know if it's just because I'm the muscle memory on the controller or what it is, but I'm better at Mario 64 on the Nintendo 64 than I am on the Nintendo Switch, and it's super weird, and I can't figure out why.
Yeah, for me, it was just purely the camera. Like, the controls were fine. I don't know. But I also play, like, I never play handheld mode. I never use the Joy-Cons. Like, I'm basically always using a pro controller when I'm playing my Switch. So I thought the controls were fine. It was just that the camera just drove me crazy, because it's that C-stick camera that was, not even C-stick.
C-stick.
It was
CC
buttons. Yeah.
We got the C-stick with the GameCube.
Exactly.
That's where Mario Sunshine comes in.
Well, yeah, and Sunshine is an interesting one, too, because, like, it has a personality to it. It definitely has a style and a look and feel that they're going for. It works, right, for what they're aiming for. But it just, there's something about it where it takes away some of those core Mario, like, mechanics that I've come to love. And I feel just, like, hobbled playing that game, because I can't
really
do all of the motions that I'm used to doing, because the flood takes the place of a lot of it, you know? So
yeah,
that's the main thing, is, like, I feel like half of the moveset, I know it's not half of the moveset, but I feel like half of the moveset is missing for Mario in that game. And that's the reason that I can't really replay that one either, because it starts to drive me a little crazy.
I understand that, because I've played more of Galaxy than any of them, but I've played the least in Mario 64. So Sunshine has obviously hit that middle ground because there are three of them. It's math. But it's the same thing. Like, the controls are really, really, I don't want to say they're finicky, but they're different than other Mario games. And so it's made me lose some of that muscle memory that I've had regained in Mario Odyssey. And Sunshine was the one I was looking forward to the most. Of all of these, I was looking forward to Mario Sunshine because I never gave it really the proper attention that it deserved, because it came out right as I was getting into college. I just didn't play. I was getting into online gaming way too much. It was just a whole thing. So going back, I told Jennifer, I was like, I'm looking forward to Mario Sunshine. She's like, I've never even heard of Super Mario Sunshine. And I'm like, well, it is the weirdest Super Mario game. I was like, if you're going to see this, and I'm like, this is the weirdest one. He has like a squirt gun on his back and he uses it like a jetpack, and he like squirts off mud. The reason he's going around is he's like swashing mud off of stuff. And she's like, that's odd. And then she sees it the morning it came in at like 8 o'clock at night. So I started Sunshine the next morning on Saturday, and she just walked into the room and I was showing it to her, and she was like, wow, this is really the weirdest Mario game, isn't it? It's just a weird game. And it just made me laugh, because for someone who had never seen it, like had never gone through that that kind of advertising onslaught that we all had back at the GameCube era, like all of us just familiar with it now, looking at Mario Sunshine, it's a weird game. And she's like, wow, what were they thinking? It was just really funny to see her reaction, having never seen Mario Sunshine before.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but at least Galaxy's in here, and I love Galaxy. Galaxy's so good. Unless you had anything else critical you want to talk about Sunshine, because I absolutely love Galaxy, and that's really the reason that I bought 3D All-Stars.
No, Galaxy is a masterpiece.
It's like, so
I have good. One problem. I have one problem with Super Mario Galaxy, and I wish they would fix it. Like, it's not even the touch control, or it's not even the motion controls, like a lot of people say. It's that you can't spin twice in a row. Like, when you spin to attack or do something, you have to wait on the Luma to come back to you. I've died so many times because I'm used to Mario Odyssey for Cappy to be so quick, and Luma is not. That I've died because I'm used to Cappy saving me, and the Luma doesn't come back in time, and I get hit by something. Like, I still haven't gotten the reflexes for the control on that one. I wish that it moved a little bit faster on the attack.
Yeah, I think I forgot that, like, the first, I don't know, like, half hour that I was playing, I ran into guys a bunch because I just mistimed my spins, and then I just readjusted to it because I forgot that that was part of the game. But it doesn't bug me nearly as much as it bugs you.
I'm bouncing between games is why.
That's why
it wouldn't bother me if I was sitting down playing Galaxy alone. It wouldn't bother me at all.
Okay.
But playing Odyssey, 3D World, and Galaxy like this, it's like, what do my hands do? I don't understand what my hands are doing in this game. Where, yeah, going straight through it, yeah, you adjust, and it's just what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, Galaxy is like I said, it's the reason that I bought this collection. The other two are more like, I wanted to revisit them for a couple hours each just to be like, do these hold up? No, they don't really hold up, but they're interesting, you know? And that's what I wanted. That's all I needed from the other games, and they gave me that. But really, I wanted to play Galaxy without having to use the Wii remote. And I love it. Like, I like it. Even though there's still motion controls in here, they work a lot better with the Pro Controller than they ever did with the Wii Remote. So it's okay, even though it's not my favorite part. But the fact that I actually have like a real controller playing this game for the first time ever makes it so much better. And it was already a fantastic game. So the main thing about Super Mario Galaxy, if you guys have never played it, is that it plays with gravity. And that is like the core mechanic in the entire game. There's tons of sometimes small, sometimes gigantic planetoids and like meteors and all sorts of things that are kind of like self-contained, mostly spheres, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a whole platforming section, and the gravity shifts between them. So there are times where you're jumping between like planet to planet or item to item, or you're doing a whole platforming section where the gravity shifts on you constantly. And it's amazing how fast your mind can adapt to it and just deal with it. Because if you just sat back and saw it for the first time ever, it's like, how would I ever do that platforming? But when you're actually in it, it just works, and it's magical.
And if you've not looked at this, if y'all haven't watched the way that gravity works in this game, think, and you've played something like Super Mario Odyssey, think about those 2D sections where the gravity up and down changes in the red and blue areas, where it's like if you jump, you're having to time the jumps to make sure that you don't land on the spikes while it pulls you up and down both ways. It's like that, only in 3D, where it sounds like it would be really, really hard, but it's not. Like, you do adjust to it. Like, your brain really gets used to this, the way gravity works, and it's just so interesting. Like, I remember loving this when it was new, and it is every bit as fun and wonderful now as it was then.
So Super Mario Galaxy 2 was my favorite Mario right. game until Super Mario 3D World came out.
Oh, okay.
And before Super Mario Galaxy 2, it was Super Mario Galaxy. So, like, these are a couple of my top games, right? I'm sad that Galaxy 2 is not here. I wonder if they're going to patch it in as DLC, or if now that they've, like, done the work to get Galaxy out there, if they're going to release Galaxy 2 as a standalone game or something. If they do release it, I will grab it on day one, because I absolutely love Super Mario Galaxy 2 even more than I love this first one.
Now, I have a question about Galaxy 2. So, okay, I completely missed Galaxy 2 when it was new. I actually didn't know it existed at the time, just because I was going into graduate school at the time and basically cut all consoles out for World of Warcraft and my master's degree. Like, that was all that existed. And I didn't know it was a thing for a long time, and now I've never heard anyone really talk about it as being fantastic. But the moment it was excluded from the 3D All-Stars collection, the internet lost its mind. Like, collectively, everyone was yelling, "Where's Mario Galaxy 2? It's so good!" And I'm like, I've never heard y'all talk about this game before. And you're saying it was your favorite one before this. Like, it's so strange to me that it's kind of a sleeper hit that I've never heard people mention when they're talking about Mario or platformers. Like, what was it about it that made it so good for Galaxy 2?
Well, so the reason everyone exploded is because if you've played Galaxy 2, you know how much of a huge oversight it is to include one without including two. It's... think about how you felt after you beat, like, so Super Mario 3D Land, when you beat World 8 and it opened up the whole second half to you, and it felt like they finally took the gloves off and they were really playing with every mechanic to the full extent, and they weren't holding back. You know how amazing that feels? That's what Galaxy 2 feels like. It feels like, okay, we taught you the basics. That was Super Mario Galaxy. Now we're really going to go for it, and you as a player can keep up. Like, it's on you. Like, we're not going to keep the kid gloves on anymore. Like, this is where we're really going to go wild. And it's just amazing. I mean, and that, so Super Mario Galaxy was the first Mario game developed by EAD Tokyo. And what I've come to realize is that they are my favorite Mario developer. They've done, so Galaxy, Galaxy 2, 3D Land, 3D World. Like, they basically did all of my favorite Mario games. So these are the guys that I want to keep making Mario forever. So that's, again, Nintendo EAD Tokyo. Like, that's the development team that I want on Mario forever.
Yeah, for real. Like I understand that. Like, the way that you put it about Land, I totally understand. And I've seen one argument against Galaxy 2 on Switch, and I'm sure that you have a completely different take on it, because I didn't know it was a thing. That I knew you could get Yoshi in it, but apparently the motion controls are controlling Yoshi's tongue, like, while you're jumping into a different place from where you're like moving. You use him to sling around, and people said that there was no way to do that on Switch because of the precision that you had to have. Like, is that just a bunch of malarkey? That is that just somebody, like, on the internet being like, I don't know, just being defeatist? Because it seems so. Like, any kind of motion controls like that would transfer almost one-to-one with the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, exactly. You could just do it with the Joy-Cons or with the Pro Controller. Like, there's no reason not to. You know, they already did all the work to get Galaxy moved over. Like, you just do the same thing to Galaxy 2 and it would totally work.
Man, I would love to have it as DLC. Like, until you had texted me that the other day, it never even crossed my mind that 2 might be DLC for it. But that would be awesome. Like, I want to play that game after your description of it here. And, like, everybody talking about how good it is. I have it behind me on my game shelf, and I've never played it because I never went back and beat Galaxy. So when we beat this one, I'm probably going to load it up in the Wii U to try. But it'll be one where it depends on what the graphics look like. When I use, like, that Troidle Power had sent me a box, that an adapter that you could get that will upscale games to where it doesn't look so terrible on HD TVs. So I'm curious on if it's going to be playable like that, or if I'm going to end up like you and waiting on it on the Switch version that we're crossing our fingers and praying for that it will come.
Yeah, hopefully it comes out soon. So any last thoughts about 3D Marios? I mean, I guess the other thing that I want to touch on, which I kind of did just through discussion, but it's that, like, levels versus open world, right? Like, right. I draw a very distinct definition between the two of those in my mind, because they're just such different types of games. Even though both of them have Mario platforming, I'm going to buy any Mario platformer that they develop. Like, they can have my money on day one. It's not even a question at this point, because I grew up alongside Mario. Like,
right.
Mario, Super Mario Brothers, the one from 1985, that was my very first video game. It's one of my earliest memories of my entire life, and I've played every Mario platformer as they came out from then until now, right? So it's right. Like, Mario is part of my life. It just always has been. They're always going to get my money on day one, but I want them to do more of those, like, level-based games and less of the open world ones, because I just enjoy them so much more.
I think I like them better too, and I think that was part of the reason that I didn't like Odyssey as much as I as everyone else did, because I was really wanting that kind of level-based platforming, and very few of the actual worlds in Mario Odyssey stick out to me. Even still, where I think it's a magnificent game, I don't think that any of the worlds have enough personality like they did in 64 or Galaxy or anything like that, where they're just, yep, here's the ice level, here's the poison swamp level, you know, and I don't like New Donk City. So, again, hate mail is going to be coming my way. But it's I think that it's the levels that really stick out to me. And I didn't realize until, you know, us talking about this, that I've been buying all of the Mario games on release too, that I had stopped doing that as I was playing online games so much. And now just the stuff that's come out recently, it's all been day one stuff since we've been doing the podcast and getting me more into this. Like, I bought Mario Maker on release day, and then the new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, all that. Like, I've been a release day guy for a while now too, and it's been fun.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Anything else on 3D Mario?
Like, what do you like versus, like, the two? I know you like levels, like the platform. I know you like the level-based platforming, but do you like the 3D platforming in, like, 3D World better than, like, the new Super Mario Brothers stuff where they do the straight-up 2D levels?
Yeah, I do. I feel they feel more dynamic. There's more possibility space for them to play with. It's not that I dislike 2D Mario, because I still do like it. I just like 3D better at this point.
I think 3D is easier for me. Like, actually easier to play, like, the levels, the new games. I honestly, like I was saying earlier, like, I'm not as good at them as I am at 3D Land or 3D World. Like, it's really strange making the jumps and everything. I'm so out of practice on the 2D ones that the 3D ones come much easier for me. And so I'm going to have to rectify that, because that is just something up with which I will not put.
Totally. No, makes sense. Before we go to Weekly Geekery, don't forget, guys, we're part of a network. We have podcasts, we have streamers, we have a Geekery blog, all that and more at geek2geekmedia.com. We also have a digital magazine called Press Start, and that is funded by the Patreon at patreon.com/geek2geekcast. And that's what you were just talking about with the Mario edition, right?
Yes, we have a fully designed digital magazine that we do with writers and columnists and everything. It's fantastic. You can get it by Patreon. And our second issue came out yesterday as of this recording. So you can go read all about it's a video game mag. Well, I'm going to start this over. It's a video game magazine about the players and their memories of it more than journalism. So if you want to hear more stories about how what Mario means to all of us, go to patreon.com/geek2geekcast. The new issue, we are so proud of it. It's all about Mario. And this week, we have a new sponsor, Funimation! Does your love of anime know no bounds? Is your truest form in front of a screen, bewildered and excited as muscle-bound high schoolers shoot lasers and magical girls fly on angel wings? Then you must be brimming with that unbeatable anime protagonist energy, and the only way you can let it out is Funimation. Thanks to their massive library, filled with hundreds of subs and dubs, when a series finale leaves you heartbroken, you can start the process all over with a new show. You know, back in the day, anime fans eagerly longed for the latest episodes, while Japan was already full seasons ahead. That sucked. But those days are long gone, because Funimation has episodes available to stream the same day they air in Japan, and dubbed within 2 weeks. With a Funimation subscription, you also gain access to members-only content and shop exclusives, meaning you can finally reach the peak of your fandom power. You can begin your free trial and start streaming ad-free anime today! Go to Funimation.com/subscribe now and download our app and start your free trial. That's Funimation.com/subscribe now. Also, from now to the end of October, Funimation is giving away free 3-month Premium Plus subscriptions to one of our listeners every week. That means that one new winner for each week of the month. To enter, all you have to do is respond to one of @GeekToGeekCast posts on social media with hashtag Funimation Giveaway. Yep, all you have to do is respond to one of our posts with the hashtag Funimation Giveaway, and you could walk away with a free 3-month Premium Plus subscription. So make sure to follow @GeekToGeekCast, and of course, @Funimation.
That's awesome. Thanks for the sponsorship. And with that, it's time for Weekly Geekery, where we share what we've been geeking out about this week. What did you do this week?
I played Mario.
Mario? Mario's good. Yeah, it's not a bad Mario thing. Good.
Like Alinzia, the crafting rogue, @CraftingRogue on Twitter, posted an article on the Geek to Geek site. It was a review of the starter set of the Lego Super Mario stuff. And I was really skeptical of this set. Like, I was always like, I want that because it's kind of cool, but at the same time, it looks kind of hokey. You know, Mario jumps around, you're making little levels, and you're playing with him. And so, like, I wasn't sure if that was something, like, as a grown adult that I really wanted to do. And the answer to that is yes. Yes, I do. Because after reading her post on it, I actually went to Target the next day for, like, the one time you go out, that we go out to a store like every 6 weeks, and they had a copy of the Super Mario starter set, which is the only one of them that comes with Mario. He's actually grayed out on all the other Lego stuff to show that he's not there, but you can only get it in the starter set, and it's $60, so, and it's absurd. But honestly, it's worth it. It's the only Lego set, let me tell you guys, only Lego set I have ever bought and put together.
Okay.
The only one.
Interesting.
And it is so much fun. Like, playing the levels and going through, like, I was like a little kid. Like, I had such a good time with this. I'm absolutely buying more of this set. Like, this one made me want to put together more Legos. And that's saying a lot, because I've always not enjoyed it. And Lego Super Mario actually made me want to open up a couple of ones that I've actually got just kind of in storage over here that I've never opened or put together. And made me want to put together Lego sets. So this one, hardcore awesome. Can't give it enough. It's like a 7 out of 5, like 2 thumbs way up on it.
Okay. Yeah, Legos are cool.
And have you watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix yet?
No, I keep seeing it pop up, but I haven't actually looked into it.
I think you should watch this. Jennifer and I really liked it. It came up, we watched it the night it came out, apparently, because we didn't know like what it was. We watched the trailer and I was like, that's what I'm in the mood for. And we watched it, and it is just about social media, its impact, and has people who are part of the creation of it, who like created the like button. The guy who created the like button at Facebook is in it being interviewed about stuff. And it's just how social media has changed and what its societal impacts are. And it's not a, you know, social media is bad kind of thing. It's like looking at the whole spectrum of, this is what we started as and this is where we are. Is this, you know, what do we do with this? And it was just really interesting where like they were talking about suicide rates among young people went up whenever different social media sites adopted likes, and like when teens and tweens wouldn't get the responses that they thought they should, it sent them into depressive episodes. And there's a correlation between that they found between things like that and suicide rates. And the guy was just sitting there and looking, and like, we made the like button because we wanted people to spread happiness, be like, hey, you posted something, I like that. And I'm just like, man, talk about feeling bad about something you did, though, right? It's a very interesting look with the people who were involved in it. And that was what really stuck out to me, is it wasn't these talking head academics. It was the people who were engineers at these companies during this period of time. And I really, really, really enjoyed it, where I'll probably watch it again. And I don't watch documentaries over and over again very often.
I will probably watch that eventually, but that is, it hits very close to home with what I do day to day with, you know, media and advertising and marketing. And also, I feel like I know it all already. And as a student of media, I know what that documentary is probably about, and it would be very depressing for me. So
it is.
I
it
have
is
to be in the right frame of mind to pick that
one.
Oh,
I understand. It is absolutely a very depressing for people like us. Very depressing for people like us episode or a documentary, where it's it really made me be like, oh man, I'm being manipulated. I know it, but I'm still being manipulated. Just talking about algorithms and how things are done, like it's fantastic. The dramatization in it is super lame, especially at the end, but I think it's definitely worth watching. 4 out of 5 from Beach.
Okay. There's a whole nother episode here where we talk about social media, but to high level it, there's a very real reason that I pulled back from using social media over the years as I got closer and closer to doing it for work. And as I realized how it manipulates people and how it's set up to function and like what it does to you psychologically. And it sounds like this documentary touches on all those things.
It does.
But also that's why like I've retreated to more and more walled gardens of people that I know, you know, like Slack. Right. And Discord and spaces like that, where it's a smaller, tight-knit group of people that actually has a community and moderators and all of that kind of stuff, because social media is just, anyway, I'm starting to tangent into a separate episode, so we could talk about that another time.
And we should. That would be a good episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it is. And it actually brought up the one thing in this, the social dilemma brought up, like my favorite thing that ever gets brought up on when you're talking to anybody who works in Silicon Valley, and they were talking to one of the former CEOs of Pinterest, and they were talking about his kids, and you could hear the question from behind the mic. They're like, do you let your kids have social media accounts? And he's like, no, they have no social media accounts. We talk to them and tell them all of this early. Like, no, they do not use social media. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't. Like, when the people who make it don't use it, there's something that we need to take a look at. They use the term human capital. You know, you hear the whole, if you're not the, or human futures, they talk the idea about if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And it was when they put it into the actual term human futures, I was like, ooh, that made me feel bad. And totally worth watching. Like, it doesn't sound like it, but it's the kind of documentary I love. So yeah,
all right.
It's super close to home.
Yeah, I feel like that one's going like on my list, but like in the far, far backlog. Like, I need to be in the exact right kind of mood to watch something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
For me this week, though, I watched something. So I watched The Mandalorian season one again, but I watched it with my kids.
And awesome.
It was fantastic because they've never really gotten into Star Wars before. And I've tried a couple times where like I was going to sit down and watch one of the easy jumping on points for Star Wars, which is basically either episode 1, 4, or 7.
Right.
And they sat through 7 with me and kind of liked it, but never really asked to do more of it or rewatch it or watch the ones afterwards. And then they tried to watch 4 at one point and they're just like, I don't get it. Like, this is boring, which granted, that's fine.
I get that.
Yeah. And, you know, so it just never stuck with them. And that was fine because I'm not the kind of parent that pushes stuff on my kids if they don't like it. I'm not going to try to make them like it just because I do. But The Mandalorian, like, I loved it so much and I wanted to rewatch it. And so I just asked the kids, I was like, hey, do you want to try to watch this with me? Like, you could watch an episode. And if you don't like it, no big deal. And they were like, oh, yeah, I've heard good things about that. And they've been like, oh, isn't there a Baby Yoda type of thing? And I was like, yeah, here, come watch it. So we watched the first episode and they just loved it. And so we watched the entire first season together. And it was so cool because we did this over the course of like two and a half weeks, something like that. But this was their first real onboarding into Star Wars. So even though they had seen little bits and pieces here and there of the other movies, this is the thing that they're going to remember as, like, this is their first Star Wars that really got them to, like, grok the universe and, like, come to terms with it and engage with it. And so now they want to go back and watch the movies, and they're super excited for The Mandalorian season two, and they want to watch that with me every week. And it's like, okay, now I'm really excited to do that with them. But it was just so fascinating to me that the most relevant Star Wars being made right now is a TV show instead of a movie. And it just shows you how far it's shifted in the last like 10, 15 years here.
And it just shows the quality of The Mandalorian as well, just how well it's put together. Because, I mean, your kids are at an age where they could have a guy who doesn't take off his mask and a very slow-paced Western-style show like this, where they could be completely put off by it. They're like, I'm bored. I don't. Why is this guy not taking off his mask? Who is this? And they could bounce the other direction. But for them to be engaged with it, especially at their ages, I find is a major victory for the Mandalorian creative team.
Yeah, it was awesome. So now I'm excited to watch season two with them. And then the other main thing that I've been doing is I'm still playing Fortnite. I'm playing Fortnite consistently, and I have been since that like first week of the Marvel season. So, you know, the Battle Pass was probably one of the best gaming investments that I've spent this entire year, because it was all of like $7 or $8. And yeah, I have been playing consistently every single week because they keep patching in new stuff. You know, I actually look forward to the weekly map updates and the content drops, because I didn't realize how far they had come, because when I was playing Fortnite the first time, when I really did it, was like very early on, and they would make some changes, but it was never anything huge. It was more about like, here's another week worth of challenges, and then maybe a couple tweaks to like, here's this weapon that's like a little less powerful or more powerful or whatever. And now when they update content in a week, it's like, here's an entire new area of the map that didn't exist last week. So there was a week where they patched in Tony Stark's headquarters, and it takes up like a fourth of the map right now. And it was like entire new region, just completely new, all redone. And it had Iron Man in it that you can go and you can fight with him and his robots, and you can hack the robots and take them over and steal their weapons, and you can defeat him and get his superpowers. And like, all of that was just 1 week. And then the next week they do another thing, you know? So I'm extremely impressed by the rate that they iterate now on that game.
Yeah.
And I also know I'm not a forever game type of person. Like, at the end of this Marvel season, I will tap out for a while. Like, I'll be done with Fortnite until the next time that they have something that appeals to me. But at the moment, my son and I are taking turns and just working through this battle pass on the same account. And so we're getting to show each other like the really cool stuff that we're unlocking, and both of us get the benefits together. Like, if one of us unlocks it, the other one has it.
That's awesome.
I think we are on track to actually finish this battle pass, which I've never finished a battle pass before in my life.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, I really have enjoyed this. I haven't played it in about 2 weeks, and I think I'm not going to get to finish it at the rate I'm going now, which makes me sad because there's some really cool stuff in it. But this is where I'm impressed by Fortnite. Just like you said, the rate at which they're iterating is just insane. And I didn't play Fortnite when it was new. I didn't play it. I played it during season one. Like, I don't think I ever even played it after they started like doing the season two thing. And it is such a different game right now, especially with the Marvel stuff in there, that I need to go back and play it more. I just got distracted by all the Mario stuff and things like that. Like, it's really, really good. And it, while I don't think it feels as much like Marvel, like having played through Marvel's Avengers, like it would not replace a Marvel game for me. The extra skins and things that they've put in there, like Tony Stark's headquarters, definitely make it more appealing than just the general Fortnite world that I don't care anything about. Like, it is a lot of fun finding the Quinjet out in the wild and taking down Tony Stark's drones and things like that. It is worth playing, y'all.
Yeah, it's super fun. So I'm having a really good time with that, and I probably will for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I think we're on week 5 right now, so we're halfway through this season. I'm enjoying it, though. It's great. But I mean, like you said, looking ahead, like there's just so many games coming out that I don't know what I'm going to do because I don't have enough time to play all the games that I want to, much less the new consoles and the new games on those and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of that ahead. I feel like we will cover a lot of video games in the next month and a half here on this podcast.
I expect so. Yeah, there's a lot coming out. Even while we've been recording this, Austin had texted me, my watch dinged, and said that he had gone ahead and pre-ordered the Yakuza Like a Dragon because you get it at Best Buy and you get an extra steelbook. It comes with a second one from the normal one that you would get off of Amazon and stuff. So it's like I'd already forgotten that game was coming out. And I was like, man, I got to move that one over there and get my second steelbook for the pre-order. It's like games are just going to start dropping really soon. We're going to have so much to talk about.
Yeah, there's so much coming out. I mean, on my list, all right, I'll just run through it. We have an extra minute here. Here's everything on my list between now and year end. I have Super Mario 3D All-Stars. I'm still picking away at a couple things in there. I have Hades 1.0 I have to revisit. I have Genshin Impact, which just came out of nowhere, and it looks super interesting. Right. I have to get back to Magic the Gathering Arena. Zendikar Rising just came out, and I haven't even touched it yet. The Marvel Fortnite season that I just talked about. I have Super Mario Brothers 35 on October 1st, so that's a day or two away from when we're recording this. Star Wars Squadrons is out soon. Watch Dogs Legion. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I'm picking that up on day one. Fuser looks super interesting. PS5 is coming out, and I'm going to grab Spider-Man Miles Morales. I might grab Yakuza Like a Dragon. Cyberpunk 2077 is out in mid-November.
Oh, yeah.
Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, man, I forgot I pre-ordered it, too.
Like Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Yes, I need to know the rest of Link's story from Breath of the Wild. I absolutely have to buy that game. Immortal Fenyx Rising looks fantastic. It's like Breath of the Wild meets Assassin's Creed. I can't skip that. That's just
I'm going to pause you right here.
Well, that's it. That's this year.
Immortal is this year.
Yeah, all of that is between now and the first week of December. It's not even through the end of December. Like, that's
holy cow.
That's from when we're recording right now, which we're basically right at the end of September until the first week of December. All of those games come out.
And I didn't even realize, like, Immortals looks awesome. I had no idea it was this year. I actually had in my head that that was a spring 2021 game, that it was still being worked on like that. So I guess that's an extra one to add on. I'd forgotten about Cyberpunk again. Like, I don't know if y'all know my memory is nothing, but I'd forgotten about it already. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to make it through all of these.
Well, it will be good. We will be covering video games over the next month and a half here a lot, I feel like.
I feel like it'll be more than that. And then we got the year-end stuff where we'll be recapping all the stuff that we've done earlier in the year.
Okay, and one last thing before we jump out for the night. Don't forget, we always do an annual Q&A episode right around Thanksgiving. So that is coming up soon, too. So if you guys have any questions for the podcast, send them our way. You can hit us up on Twitter. That's an easy place. You can send them directly to us in any of the channels that we're in Slack or Discord. Or you can send them via email to geektogeekcast@gmail.com, which... of course, you can always write to us with comments, suggestions, or feedback to that same email address or reach us on Twitter at Geek2GeekCast.
We also have some great discussions on Slack and Discord. You can go to geektogeekmedia.com for invite links. And while you're there, make sure that you check out all the other content on the network, like blogs and video game reviews and our digital magazine Press Start through Patreon.
I blog at agreenmushroom.com. You can find me at grnmushroom. That's green mushroom without the E's on Twitter. I'm also on the Disney Forever podcast with Katie, my co-host, where we watch and react to a different Disney movie every week.
I'm on Twitter as at Professor Beej, that's Beej with two E's, and I also co-host the Dragon Quest FM podcast, a show about the Square Enix RPG series.
We've been Void and Beej with your Geek to Geek podcast. That'll do it for this week. See you next week, geeks.
Bye, guys. And remember, hashtag Funimation giveaway so that we can give you free stuff.
When toxic culture has you down.
When you're just looking to laugh and have fun.
Kick back and enjoy watching a video game.
Or just make some new friends.
It's time to visit the Geek to Geek Media Network.
A community of podcasters, streamers, and bloggers.
Well, more of a family than a community.
all dedicated to geeking out about the things we love. Things like
video games,
Star Wars,
comics,
movies,
K-pop,
Disney Plus,
Keanu
Reeves,
new,
or whatever our community decides is the next best thing.
That's right. We have a great online community on Slack and Discord where we chat about our weekly geekery with listeners and viewers.
And each other.
Yep, and each other in real time. And we can't wait for you to join us.
So come check us out at geek2geekmedia.com.
And escape toxic fandom for something much more...
Keanu?
Yes, Keanu.